This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. We're all about digital signage and have been since 2006. We cover what's interesting now and what will be interesting and important one day soon. And we filter out all the BS. This podcast is a chance to add depth and color to what we do online, and it gives smart people a chance to really talk about their companies and their ideas. You can hear new episodes weekly on your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, free of charge. 16.9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful, ready-made, auto-delivered, and auto-updated content for screens.
One of the big challenges on the technology side of digital signage is keeping up with all of the emerging hardware and software options on the market. It used to be a reasonably simple case of developing software in one OS or another and getting it running on a PC. But now there are Android players, Chrome devices, set-top boxes, and a variety of so-called smart displays from different manufacturers, most of them different from one maker to the next. It's a bit of a mess, particularly if you have a content management system and clients asking constantly if the platform works with this or that. Stan Richter and his company Signage OS saw all of that and have launched what's being called a unification platform that makes it easy to get a CMS and its player running on multiple kinds of devices. Signage OS sits in the middle and also handles the management and maintenance of the various devices. The service is white labeled, and the idea is for software companies to subscribe to Signage OS and build that functionality and cost into their own licensing fees. The company, based in Prague, just launched a month ago, and they have 30 NDAs going with software firms. They've got people at DSE today, way at the back of the hall, and they're eager to talk to potential North American partners. CEO Stan Richter, who I first met at ISE, filled me in recently. Stan, can you explain what Signage OS is all about? We chatted in Amsterdam about it, and I spoke with so many people there at ISE that I'm a little foggy, and I think I left with a slightly incorrect impression of what it's all about. So I think that would be a great place to start.
Yeah, sure, Dave. I think this is great questions since, yes, sometimes people confuse Signage OS with like a content management system or being an integrator or anything else, but we are not. We are not a content management system. We are not an integrator. We are actually a brand new category within signage, like digital signage. We do a unification platform for different system on chip devices and digital signage players. And we provide this bridge through one single API to our partners. And our partners can be content management system companies, integrators, managed solution companies, content developers, and plenty of more.
Okay, so in practical terms, what does that mean? If I, let's say I'm a content management system company.
Well, yeah, so with us, you can almost instantly onboard any system on chip platform that is out there. And I'm talking about Samsung, LG, Philips, Panasonic, Sharp. From the player's perspective, I can talk about RightSign or Google devices.
Okay.
So with us, we provide you with a single API through which you can instantly connect with no hassle, with no development needed.
All right. So if I am a CMS company and I've been operating in Windows or whatever it may be, and I have a client who says, no, I want to use LG WebOS or I want to use BrightSign boxes or whatever. And more normally, you would just say, well, I'm sorry, we don't support that. And they watch that business go away. You're saying that using your API, they are suddenly compatible.
Exactly. They can very simply connect through our API. It's almost kind of like a white label solution. Nobody needs to know that we are running in behind, that we are providing this bridge. And we provide a device-specific application, core applications running on every device that we support. And our cloud-based or server-based platform through which you do all the calls. So everything is embedded within your content management system. And you don't need to see this business to go away. You can grab it and embrace it with Signage OS.
So the problem would be if you were a CMS company, you were confronted with this challenge to adapt your system to work with, let's say, LG WebOS. This is something that might take you 12 weeks, 16 weeks, maybe half a year or more to do, right?
Yes. Yes. We started to write our integrations more than 2 years ago. So we know what it takes to do the integration. It's usually said that you can kind of recycle almost 80% of the code when you do one integration.
Yep.
But it's not completely true. Yes, of course, you can kind of recycle and use, for example, the content part when you need to write your kind of player, you know, that can play the content on different devices. But the device-specific layer, that is the remote device management, without which you cannot really manage extensive networks, you are screwed. So this takes a lot of time. So yes, if you want to do just plain basic integration, it can take a few weeks. But if you really aim for long-term cooperation and usage of such a device, you need to do complete integration, and it takes months.
Okay. So I'm listening to this. I'm thinking, this is great. What all is involved in doing the integration, and what are the commercial aspects of it? Like, how do you guys make money sitting in mm-hmm. the middle?
So I'll start answering the question how it evolved or what is included. So yeah. What we always do is that we sit with the manufacturers, we sign NDAs. So not the information we are using are not publicly available. So we always cooperate with the manufacturers and with the vendors. And we sit with them, we explain what we do, we get the NDA signed, and we get usually access to their software development kits and APIs. So we do evaluate what they offer, and we create the architecture so it can easily plug in into our platform. Then our engineers sit and they do all the hard work, they do all the heavy lifting, they adapt the applications, they test it very extensively within our office. Mm-hmm. We have like almost 50 devices in our office, so you can imagine it's pretty hot in there. And once this is done, we release this to public market, so it can be used publicly. Or we usually start with kind of like a beta applications, mm-hmm. so our partners can test it on in real world on real devices, and then we release completely publicly. So we provide this as a kind of cloud or server platform. So there is infrastructure included. There is the core application running on device included. There is the maintenance included. This is very important. We supply the maintenance. So it's, you know, developing a system on chip integration, it's challenging. But it's, what is even more challenging is to keep it up to date. Because with all of the new device releases and firmware releases, we are doing, we are changing our applications almost every week. So this is what is really challenging. So if you really aim for a long-term cooperation and long-term support of system-on-chip devices and digital signage players, this is what is challenging.
Hmm. I would imagine that this would be quite attractive to companies who have had some experience integrating with SoC and finding that with version changes, things no longer work. And I know with some of the early companies who got into smart signage, smart screens, and so on, they bailed on it because they said, you know what, we just can't keep up.
Yeah. That's usually what happens. It's not only about keeping up. It's also when you are a new company or you decided you will be onboarding system on chip, you need to decide which way you want to go. Do you want to go with Samsung, Tizen, or even SSP because all the versions of the displays are running SSP still? Or you want to do LG, or do you want to do Android? And with Android different versions, it's even more complicated. So. Uh-huh. Over the process of, you know, deciding it, you need to evaluate a lot. And since the documentation is not always complete, it's difficult to make a good decision based on data. You usually do the decision based on gut feeling. So even if you are about to start the development, or you want to keep the pace, it's really difficult to keep pace with all the versions that you mentioned and that I just used. I don't really know how many releases of firmwares there are, but I think that our engineers, they cope with several releases a week, given all the different platforms.
Mm-hmm. So if I want to do this, what's it going to cost me?
You mean if you want to do this on your own or if you want to do this with us?
With you. If I want to put Signage OS in the middle so that I can integrate with a number of different SoC mm-hmm. platforms, am I buying a license from you? Am I subscribing to something?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we run a subscription-based model. So it, in most of the cases, it reflects or mirrors the business models of our partners, of the content management system companies. We can also do on-premise, but this is more about specific deals that we do. But overall, it's a cloud-based subscription model where you pay a certain amount of dollars per month per device that is powered through Signage OS. And as I mentioned to you at ISC, we start at around $5 a month a device. And the price gets lower as the volume increases.
Right. So for a typical software as a service company that may be charging, you know, anywhere from $10 to $20 a month for their subscription mm-hmm. service, it's going to add another $5 at the high end, but in volume, it's going to come down. So it's not it's not doubling the cost or anything.
No. We know that we will, or Signage OS will work at scale. Mm-hmm. So we really aim to scale. It's not about hundreds or thousands of devices. We really need to get to tens of thousands of devices
right.
to create a working business model. So we don't want to prevent our potential partners using Signage OS just because of the price, because the technology we have, it's great. I think it can save so much time, it can save so much resources that we really want them to embrace it in the very beginning, and we don't want to put a high price tag on it. So $5, this is really the maximum that we are charging, and this is more for like really, really small installations. We try to always do custom pricing. We can reflect or consider also different deals so we can get very low when the volume is high.
Right. What happens, I would imagine if I'm a CMS guy, I'm looking at this and thinking this is really interesting, but what it means is my service is now routing through somebody else's service, a third party service, and regardless of whether my client knows this or not, I'm not sure I care about that. What I care about is if their service goes down, I'm pooched, as is my client. Mm-hmm. So how do you, I'm sure this comes up in meetings.
Yeah, that comes up pretty often. That comes up pretty often. For a really big clients where it makes sense, we are able to do on-premise installations so they can build their own cloud-based service mm-hmm. on our technology. But this is all, you know, for the big clients.
Yeah.
For the rest, what I can say is that we are very serious about the business. So if I were to show you our service level agreements and the uptime that we have, it's like 99.99 right now.
Right.
Of course, there may be outage. It happens. It's IT, you know. But we are trying to provide as good service as we can. We are using a different server centers around the globe to provide the best possible connectivity. So, yeah, we are doing our best. Of course, it can happen, but we are trying to somehow, I cannot really find the word. Yeah,
avoid, mitigate the risk.
Yeah, mitigate. That's the word. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. There's I won't say who because it's not really fair to them and it's not their fault, but a well-known software as a service company this morning as we're talking had a serious outage through their host. And the host said, we made some changes. Everything's down. The only thing that's working, period, is the telephone system. So, I mean, it's back now, but that's a company that understands cloud and everything else, and they're completely at the mercy of their host. So in the case of this, if your host goes down, what happens? Is nothing passing through? Are the SoC players going blank, or is it just not updating?
Well, we as I said, we are very serious about the functionality.
Yeah.
And we always try to make the screens to operate. So what we do or what we did in the very beginning when we started developing the platform is that the platform is made offline first.
Okay.
So no matter what happens on the server architecture, the end devices, meaning the screens, displays, tablets, they always play the content. So if they lose connectivity, they will be playing the latest content that was uploaded there.
Right.
So everything stays within the internal memory. We are using the internal storage. So it will play over and over until it gets updated.
And if somebody opts into your system and then decides, okay, we're for whatever reason they're opting out, is it reversible?
Well,
what all happens?
Sure, it is reversible, but if they want to use the devices that they deployed with system-on-chip technology, then they would need to have their own system-on-technology application running on the devices. So yes, we can revert it, but they need to be ready.
Right. It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to you browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
And your argument is that it could cost you many thousands, tens of thousands, quite possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest in all the development to integrate with these different SoC devices and bright sign boxes and so on, versus, hey guys, just subscribe to this. We got this. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. And I want to add that it's not just about the money. It's about the time.
Yeah.
And time meets opportunity costs, right?
Yeah.
So you are losing deals. And also means that you need to put time of your, you know, most skilled engineers to develop the platform. So you cannot develop your core product. So it's also about efficient usage of resources. So yes, I cannot really say the number, how much it would cost, because labor costs different in different nations.
Sure.
But it would be pretty expensive, and it will be very time consuming to get to the point where we are right now.
Yeah. You used at the top of this the term unification platform. Is a unification platform something that's common across the software business? Like, I just don't know.
Yeah, from our perspective, it is. I think that digital signage industry is, I don't want to say the same industry as the rest, but it behaves like rational and logically. And if there are any possible cost savings route or path, it will follow. So I think it will converge. It will converge, and it is converging right now, I guess. What we have seen from our perspective lately is this shift from hardware-heavy installations with PCs and digital signage players behind to more kind of software-centric and savvy installations that can run more content and are more flexible. I cannot really give you right now like a comparison with different industries, but I think it will converge, and it is just a logical step.
Right. And I guess interesting, but I guess what I'm wondering is, like, in the point of sale system business or other businesses that have software systems and all kinds of different hardware platforms, is a unification platform something that's emerged in those industries?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just didn't know whether this was unique to digital signage or something that's been done elsewhere.
I think, like, I don't know whether this is the best example, but if you look at the smartphone business, there was this software called PhoneGap. for like hybrid development of applications for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone.
Oh, okay.
So it was unification platform. It was overtaken by Adobe, so they just put it into their suite. So now I think it's Cordova, but it was unification platform, you know, to ease the process of application development.
Gotcha.
I don't want to, you know, use this sole example because it's not the best one since you should better develop native applications for smartphones, but it was one of the examples.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's been the response in the marketplace to date? Are you getting pushback from guys, or are they saying, oh, thank mm-hmm. God you're here?
Yeah. So far, we've received tremendous feedback. We were exhibiting at the ISE in February, and it was actually the first time where we were presenting publicly CygnageOS. So that was the time when we kind of launched European sales of CygnageOS, and the feedback was really tremendous. We got a lot of people on our booth just saying that this is great innovation that we are bringing on the market. And ever since then, we have signed like more than 30 NDAs with our partners, meaning like the content management system companies. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the feedback is great. And we are looking forward to be exhibiting at the DSE in 1 week, actually,
yep.
where we'll be launching the product for North America.
Okay. So are you challenged at all in the... You get somebody like me, and I suspect, you know, I'm lowest common denominator. I'm dumb as a brick, but other people will walk up to your booth. Will they instantly get what you're doing, or how are you going to get this across to them?
Yeah, that's kind of a tricky part. As I mentioned in the beginning, we are creating kind of a new category within yeah. digital signage that has never been there. So it's kind of like a new breed. So it's important to us to really explain to people, you know, what are our core values, what we stand for, what we are bringing to the market, and it will take time. So I think we need more meetings than just one to really convey to people what we are and why they should use our technology. So from my experience, what we had with some of the really big brands within digital signage industry evaluating our product is that we need, I don't know, maybe 5 meetings to really make them understand what we do
right.
and how we can be of any help.
And that's not an insubstantial investment to do that. I mean, you're a small company in Prague, and
yeah.
you will have companies in all over North America and elsewhere saying, yeah, let's continue to talk. Can you meet with us next week? That sort of thing. So it could be a lot of airplane time, a lot of investment in building this business, right?
Yeah, like since ISE, all I was doing was just being on a Skype or Hangout or WebEx and doing calls
yeah.
with my head of product and with my CDO. So we really spent dozens of hours on the calls. We will be flying around, visiting our customers. So we are ready to make this investment. What we are also doing is that we are seeking for partners in different regions, North America, meaning like Canada, USA, Europe, and Asia, which can help us make this kind of awareness that we are here. So we'll be growing our team internationally as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we also, what we did is that we introduced a new service that we are providing to our partners. And this kind of, we call it a SWAT team. It's like CygnageOS World Onboarding Team. So we can send over engineers to our partners to help them onboard. So we are able and willing to bear the costs of the initial integration with CygnageOS mm-hmm. because we really believe it can bring value to both sides and the clients as well.
And where did the company come from, and what kind of, what does it look like right now in terms of headcount and everything?
Uh-huh. So currently we are a company of almost 20 people, and 90-95% are software engineers. So it's me and one of our key accounts and back office kind of person that are the only people that are not purely dedicated to software development.
Yep.
So we have like almost 17 people doing the development now. And we have grown. We have grown from a headcount of six in 2000, late 2015.
Is it bootstrapped or do you have financing from third parties?
Yeah, both. It was bootstrapped from the beginning. We actually started as kind of a content management system company.
Okay.
But realized very early on that competing on this market would be terribly difficult. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Congratulations for figuring that out early.
Yeah, it was very early, but we also understood from our experience from this market that the hardware integration is extremely challenging. Mm-hmm. When we were deploying our projects, it was always the hardware part that struggled. So we saw a potential there. We knew about Samsung System on Chip and LG WebOS. So we said, well, if we are having these problems, apparently there must be other companies having the same problems. So we did some interviews and did the research, got in touch with several content management system companies. And based on, you know, those findings, we founded SigniteOS. That was bootstrapped from the money we got from the content management system company. And we raised some funding last year in June.
Okay. Is there much overhead at all on your partner's CMS platform or on the players or anything else to add your layer in, or is it just web services and it has no impact?
To be honest, there is some. That's why I mentioned our people traveling over to our partners to help them with the integration. But when the content management system company is kind of, we call it SigniteOS friendly, it means that they do web-based content, HTML content, integration shouldn't take more than a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I think, I don't want to say that it's not important, but it's not as important or not as significant.
Right. But does it impact playback performance or anything else? Does it require you to kind of upgrade to a faster processor or anything else? I mean, I ask because I know with some of the, at least the early iterations of the video analytics companies, you know, that mm-hmm. part of the move of Intel being in the game was it would move customers from Celeron processors to i3s or even i5s or 7s to make the damn thing work properly.
Yeah, well, what we are limited with, it's actually the system-on-chip performance, right?
Yep.
So we kind of equalize the performance by introducing our layer, but we cannot really improve the performance. So this is the limit that we have.
Right.
So we don't really push the clients to get more, like, better performance for their content, but they need to be aware of what the system on chip is capable of playing. And for this, we have massive knowledge base that we have created over the time that we can provide, or we are providing to our partners within our API documentation, where they can search what are the flaws and benefits of different system-on-chip platforms. And this is very helpful in the beginning, so they can really understand in human language what they can do with system-on-chip. So other than that, there is no limit or no push from us on the content management system companies regarding the content.
Right. And if you are a company that has a content management system, I gather the foundational thing you need is an HTML5 player. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. This is the only way how you can unify the access to system on chip and digital signage players. But I think that this shift is kind of obvious in recent days and months. So I think this should not be a problem. And even from the talks that we have with companies that are on the market for a couple of decades and didn't really run HTML5 content, they will be running this type of content. So they already noted that they need to move, and they are doing it, and we are ready for this.
Okay. When system-on-chip players first came out about 5 years ago, Samsung had the first sort of big commercial push of it. Mm-hmm. Others followed. The criticism was that they weren't powerful enough. They really didn't do very much. They've improved over time. Most of the big display guys now have versions of it. because you're thinking about this stuff all day long and hearing from all these vendors and all that, where do you think it's at? Has system on chip and the whole idea of smart screens matured to a point where it's a credible alternative to independent media players and PCs and so on?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely is. Yeah. We've been dealing with system on chip and started with SSP3 in 2015 and LG WebOS 2.0 and Android 4.2. And ever since then, it's been improving pretty quickly. And I must say that current system on chip platforms and all the displays that are out there are definitely comparable to different external players, either Windows or Linux based. Of course, there are categories like with high-end bright sign players where you cannot really compete, but those are more like specialty installations.
Sure.
But for the majority of installations, what is on the market right now and what will be coming actually this year will be, you know, just enough for most of the installations.
Okay. So you're going to be at DSE. Do you guys have a booth?
Yes, we do. This is the first time exhibiting at the DSE. We are excited being there in 1 week. We'll be at the launchpad. So it's the booth number 1570. We will be having like a small booth compared to other players with just a few signs. Yeah. But I think that the technology we'll be presenting will be really cool.
And the launchpad, I think, is towards the back of the hall, right?
Yes, it's upper left side, close to restaurants. So everybody needs to go there.
Okay. Yeah, well, because I've been going to DSE forever, when I go to the show, I tend to go straight along the sides and to the back because that's where the interesting stuff is.
Yeah, we hope so.
All right. So safe travels over. By the time this runs, you will be in Las Vegas.
Perfect. Dave, thank you for having me and hopefully to see you in Vegas.
Absolutely.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 The Blog and now the podcasts are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.